Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. Tonight's spotlight is on the band Theo Taran with the release of their new single, Virus.
I have Monica Sowie with me today. She makes up one of two parts of the band Theo Taran. Unfortunately, the other half of Theo Taran, David Patacone, could not be here today. And as a matter of fact, as we're recording this, he's in the hospital with a burst appendix. So you guys keep him in your prayers as he recovers. But Monica is here to represent. Are you part one or part two? You might be part one.
I don't know. I always make David like do all the stuff with the face. I'm like, you can be on the videos. I'll just sing.
There you go. Well, you see, but your face is on the videos. That's when you sing.
I know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's a partnership. I am so excited to see you again because it has been it's been a year since we interviewed last. And
oh man, that was, wasn't it?
I know. It was like February of 2023. I looked it up.
Yeah.
Your project, Theo Taran, is so unique. We are going to have to go back and talk about it a little bit because they need to kind of get the gist of what this is before we can talk about what's coming up and what's new. Okay.
Okay.
So first of all, tell us about you. What did you do before Theo Taran?
I had a metal band. It wasn't really around for a long time. I think I released three songs, and I think I just never could find bandmates that wanted to write and play live and stuff like that. People just had never really been serious. I don't know if it's just because female vocalists in metal are really rare. So that could have been the issue. I'm not sure. But yeah, it was called Aseity. Like I said, we released three songs and then I ended it after that. There's just stuff that happened. Yeah. So I kind of started out with that. And I mean, I've been singing since I was probably 10 years old, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been in choir. I've done singing lessons. I had an opera teacher had taught me some things. And so I've had a couple different vocal coaches, and I actually had met Patacone through Facebook, and the whole reason we started Theo Taran was because he had me on a song, and then we just liked working together so much. We became instant best friends and family, and then we just decided to start a music project together.
So tell us, what is Theo Taran and why is Theo Taran?
What and why? Well, so Theo Taran it's more than just a music project. And we've made a lore out of it. Like we've made a story out of it. So we've kind of taken the Bible and parts of the Bible, Revelation, stuff like that. And so Theo Taran's kind of an allegory to that. So our lore, we have this thing in the lore called the upgrade, and it's supposed to be the mark. And then there's, you know, different things, like there's this one world order that is going on in the world of Theoterra, and there's this main bad guy city called Union City, and it's kind of like the capital after how, I guess, think Hunger Games, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like the capital. It's where this one world government has, like, they now reside in Union City, and they're called Union City Corporation. And so Union City is like their headquarters city, I guess. And there's a lab there that has created the upgrade, and it's called Altair Labs. And the owner of Altair Labs, he's on the board of directors at Union City Corporation. So he's kind of taken over. So I guess I'm trying to keep this like as an allegory, but I don't want to give away too much. So he's kind of like the Antichrist. Like I said, it is an allegory. So everything is, as far as the story goes, like the characters and everything are purely fictional. The technology and stuff, that's fictional. But it's just an allegory to things that are going to happen. So
where did the inspiration for this idea come from? It's kind of allegory, sci-fi, kind of fantasy. I guess it's not really science fiction.
It is, but it's not. Yeah, it is, but it's not. So honestly, I think God just gave us the idea. So our first song that came out was called War Cry. And originally War Cry was just going to be another song that I featured on. It was going to be a Patacone song that I feature on, just like Captivate My Heart, which was the song that he had me on originally. And we started out writing that. And then as we were writing it, we were like, wait, why don't we just make a music project? Honestly, it started out as a side project because I was still trying to do a CD and he was doing his Patacone music. And I always call it DP, but because it's weird just saying, oh, yeah, David Patacone is doing David Patacone music.
David Patacone featuring David Patacone.
So it was going to be like kind of a side project, and it just turned out to be both of our main projects over time. And we started with War Cry, and like I said, that was just going to be a feature. And then as we were writing it, like we came up with the term cyber Vikings because we were like, ooh, this sounds kind of cyber, but it also has Viking elements in it because it's got like the me doing that. And then we were like, okay, well, if we're going to do a band, we need a logo. He had the name Theo Taran, and he was like, oh, I thought of coming up with this as a band name like a long time ago, and you'll have to ask him the whole story. I can't remember, but he had just now remembered it again, like years later. He's like, oh, we should use this. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I don't know how I feel about that name. It's kind of weird.
He had to sell you on it.
Yeah, I guess it just kind of grew on me because I think in the process of making the logo. So when we did the logo, we originally started out because of the way War Cry sounds, we were like, okay, let's do the logo with like a Viking axe. I think he still has the original like iterations of the logos that we were working on, but it's like a Viking axe and then it has like the name carved in it or something. And then eventually one of us had decided, oh, like let's put a Viking axe and then another one next to it and like have the blades like facing opposite. So that's how the logo that it is now, that's how
it
that
really
looks
cool.
Thanks. Yeah, it just grew on me.
Theo Taran has written lore to go along with the music. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, so my husband actually helps. He's really big into like D&D type of gaming.
It's a very complex fantasy game.
Yeah. Yeah. Big tabletop fantasy game. And so he helped me and David write the story and come up with characters and names and stuff like that. And it's still a work in progress because we want the fans to also make characters and make character stories. So we've kind of left it open so that people can say, oh, well, this is the world that they've made. So I want my character to have these abilities and be from this place, or maybe they're from Union City and maybe they have the upgrade or they don't, or they're rebelling against the upgrades. So they want to join the Cyber Vikings. So Theo Taran is the rebel group, basically. So Theo Taran is the original members, and it's my character, David's, and Jake's. I'm Eos, David is Enoch, and Jake's character is Halvor.
So more than just music, you have this story, but now you've got interaction with the fans and the fans being allowed to interact with the story. That might even drive the music, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of our songs are actually lore based. So we have, I'm trying to think. So the song Static, it's about how basically the media lies. So it's kind of real world, but also kind of lore based. So when you read what we have so far of the story that's written out, and we've got that on a website called Archive of Our Own, when you read it, you'll see that when they start implementing the upgrade. Basically, they're talking about how, oh, the upgrade's going to be awesome. It's this thing that you should get because it can cure cancer. It can heal sicknesses. It can do all this wonderful stuff. And we're going to let you have it for free. We're going to have it free to the public. But then what they're not reporting in the media is, oh, well, actually, if you try to remove the upgrade, we'll send a kill signal to you. And you're done. So, and then also the one world government can control people through the upgrade and stuff like that. So they're not advertising those things. So the song Static, like the lyrics in the chorus are static, hiding the lies, static, used to disguise, only the truth is clear to me, or something like that. Basically, the media is all this static and they're using this static to disguise the truth behind the upgrade.
So if somebody checks out some of your music, thinks it's kind of cool and wants to know about this story and how they can be a part, they just need to go to archiveofourown.org.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we'll put a link to this on your landing page so they can like just click on it and go to it and they don't have to try to type all that out.
Yeah, because you've got to search for Theoterra and stuff like that. So
yeah. So we'll put that on there. Or they can go to your Facebook page probably and find it there.
Yeah, okay. We've got the links to everything. We should have the links to everything.
You guys have a unique way of getting your message across. How has the response been?
We've had a lot of positive response on it, but I think it's been hard to, I guess, market that because it's one thing to say, hey, this is a new band. And it's like, oh, well, there's like a zillion new bands. Okay, cool. But then it's another to say, hey, there's this band that also has a lore. And it's like, hold on a minute. Some people are kind of, I feel maybe not really confused, maybe taken aback by it, maybe, you know, because they're like, okay, how do I get into this? How do I get involved? And since we don't have a comic or a movie or anything like that, I think that's kind of where it's more difficult to, I guess, introduce people to the world. But I think we've had positive responses, at least.
It seems like you probably have a core group of like Uber fans that are really into this genre. Is that true?
I think so. I know we have a few fans that were a combination of fans from Acidity and then fans from David Patacone that they kind of followed both of us and they're now involved with Theoterran, and we have a couple of them that have started creating their own characters, and one of them actually, he's helped us out with different things at a couple of, you know, the shows that we were at, and so he has now become, not only is he a fan, but he also wrote a character that has now, that we've now put into our lore that he is actually going to be our head of security or like head of the crew and stuff for our shows. So that's pretty cool.
That's one of the coolest, nerdiest things I've ever heard.
Oh, how neat. And tell us about the outfits. You know, y'all had the helmets and lights and the whole thing on the stage.
You
really sold these characters. Now tell us a little about what everybody's wearing and what it looks like when y'all are on stage.
So the guys with the helmets, they're the Cyber Vikings. So the Cyber Vikings in the lore, they're basically the people that are part of the Theoterran rebel group against Union City Corporation, but they were not the original founders of Theoterran. So Theoterran, just the founders, like I said, is just me and Jake and Patacone. So the Cyber Vikings are kind of like, I guess they're kind of our army, I guess, okay, so to say. And the ones that play on the stage with us, they wear the helmets because they want their identity hidden. And one of them, it's questionable if whether he's actually human or a cyborg. His name is Omega and he's got like these big dreads and he plays bass.
Yes. Loved that costume.
Yeah. So, and then one of them, his name is Christos. Like his arm is partially robotic. So I don't know if you saw him, but he's one of the guitarists. Yeah. So it's questionable on if these cyber Vikings, at least the ones that play on stage, if they have like a cybernetic implants, or if they're cyborgs, or if they're human. So they kind of let that be mysterious. And then me and Patagoni, we just wear something that lights up. That's glow pretty
sticks.
Much what
we do. Just have glow sticks glued to our outfits.
Yeah.
Well, it was really cool. I enjoyed seeing that at KCF, and it really caught people's attention because it was so different from anything else that was out there, you know?
Yeah.
And not only visually, but the sound too was different. But I think people dug it. I really do. I know, yeah, I did.
Thank you. I think they liked it. It seemed like they caught on. So our official greeting of Theoterra is "Hey."
Hey.
Because I'm Italian.
With the Italian, with the Italian hand, we have to.
Yeah, we have the Italian hand. Hey, yeah. So we were getting people in the crowd to say "Hey," and by the end of it, I think they all caught on.
That's good. So we got a lot of pictures with people doing that, right?
Yeah, we have. I think it's it was our previous cover photo, but we had a. We took a selfie picture with the crowd behind us.
I just think that's a lot of fun. Are you having some younger kids that like that kind of thing that are really jumping on board?
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like so at both KCF and Audio Feed last year, I briefly gave my testimony on stage, and little girls come up to me, and one of them told me that, wow, what you said, she was like, that really hit me, you know, and she was young. She was probably a young teenager. And so she had us sign her arm and stuff. Yeah. So that was really cool. And then at Audio Feed, there was an even younger girl. She was, I don't know how old. I'm so bad with telling people's ages, but she was under 10. She was really young. And she was following me around, and she was saying how cool that our show was. And her mom was telling me how, you know, she wouldn't stop talking about us. And I thought that was really neat. So, yeah. So yeah, we're getting the younger crowd definitely is interested.
So that's giving you an opportunity to be able to share the gospel and reach people.
Yeah, for sure. That's the whole goal of Theoterra anyway.
Yeah.
There's been a few people that have said how, which it's really cool. They've said that they have maybe felt like they didn't have a community, or they didn't have really a place to express themselves. They've felt like Theoterran's given them that. So with their character creation and stuff like that, they
feel like they're a part of something.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're a part of something, like that they can make this character and kind of go off in their own little world and feel like they're a part of this world that we've created. And I think that's pretty cool, to be honest, because that's what we want to do. We want people to feel like they're part of a community.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How many songs do you have out?
10. Yeah, because we have 10 on the album. And then, let's see. Oh, well, we have another song coming out now.
Well, and that's what we got to talk about.
I keep losing track of how many songs, because we have like 30 of them that aren't finished.
So you have 10 that are actually on the album.
Yeah.
Then you've got 30 of them that are in process.
And there's a new song that is getting ready to be released. And by the time this airs, it will be out. So let's hear all about it.
So the song is called Virus, and it's a lore song, kind of. it's another song that's a mixture of lore, but also, I guess it's an allegory, because I wrote part of the lyrics a long time ago, and then the other part of the lyrics, like, it just fit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's basically about how the devil can get in your head and tempt you and do all these things, and how, so the devil's a virus and you can't get rid of him on your own. You need God. Mm-hmm. So you need Jesus to get rid of him. So it's got that in it, but then it's also got the lore of, I mean, in like a cyberpunk world, how there's computer viruses and stuff like that. So Union City might be trying to hack the Cyber Vikings, and there's a virus in the in their system now, and they have to eradicate it and stuff like that.
So it's like malware.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a combination of the two things. It's like, okay, the devil's a virus, but then also there's an attack from Union City and they've put a virus in our system.
It's like these stories are running parallel.
Right? Yep.
Can you think of a line or something from it that really stands out to you? I'm putting you on the spot.
I haven't memorized these lyrics perfectly yet either. Because I don't need to yet, right? Right. I write something and then I forget about it. And then I'm like, I don't remember it until I start practicing. The chorus is, "Walking dead, you're a virus in my soul. Epidemic spread out of control. Walking dead, you're a virus and I can't erase you on my own." That chorus gets stuck in my head because it's like, "Walking dead, you're a virus in my head." Yeah. So that gets stuck in my head really easily. Now I'm like, it's going to be stuck in my head the rest of the night now. And then there's this cool breakdown. Well, it's like a EDM breakdown thing where the bass kind of does something and the synths do something crazy. And it's got me doing a robot voice and then David does a robot voice.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's like the robot voices are really fun because whenever I record them, I'm just like, "Attention, Cyber Vikings. Cellnet has detected a virus." And then so I'm like super, I'm trying to stay super, super
emotionless.
Yeah. And just dead, you know, deadpan voice. Right. But yeah, I think that part and the chorus stand out.
I don't pretend to know how all this works. Does he run that through like his synthesizer?
He has different like vocal effect plugins.
Gotcha.
So he'll like, we use FL Studio for our mixing and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They're software like VST plugins.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, okay. And they're named something. I don't know.
I don't know why I had to know that. I just
it curious. Helps.
Yeah, for real.
Monica's husband, Jake, is going to join us so he can tell us a little bit about his contribution to Theo Taran. First, what do you do IRL?
I'm an academic advisor for Liberty University.
Oh, wow.
So I solve everyone else's problems.
And what do you do with Theo Taran?
I help with more of the story, as Monica was saying. I like D&D stuff. I like story building. My master's degree is strategic communications, so a lot of what I've been doing lately is story branding and building stories around things. Mm-hmm. And I've always enjoyed writing stories as a kid, so the opportunity to do this and just some different fandom stuff was really interesting, just putting all my different hobbies and lore stuff that I enjoy together.
And you're a good writer, too.
When Monica and David shared their idea, did it make you geek out?
Oh, yeah. I immediately said, "All right, guys, here's what we need to do.
Oh,
here's the different clans."
I mean, who came up with the idea of the stories in the first place?
I think it was all of our ideas, but yeah. I kind of gave more detail to it of like the different clans that are in Theo Taran that fight against Union City, the different types of personalities and stuff like that. Some other things that we haven't released yet.
You freaked out. You were like, "Oh, this is so cool."
Me and Patty Coney sat down for a few hours one night initially just building the skeleton behind everything, like building the world and kind of building the universe to let fans do their own thing. So we let them design their own person around what we built. So me and him took a few hours doing that one night about a little over a year ago. We were in Arkansas.
So this just turned into like a family ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You both have become a part of it.
So I guess it's safe to assume that you're a gamer?
I'm a 90s baby, so we grew up on Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It was standard issue when I was born. They just gave us a Nintendo controller, said, "Here, kid, grow up."
90s kids barely made it out of the Oregon Trail.
You know what I'm saying?
So if you look at some sources, we're actually considered the Oregon Trail generation, too.
Really?
Well, yes.
Really?
Yes. Well, then I hit the nail on the head there.
Yes.
It's true.
Not just millennials or zillennials, where there's a subgroup of us that are considered the Oregon Trail generation.
You don't stream gaming, do you?
No. I purely do it to relax because I work 9 hours a day and I work on grad school work too. So it's just a downtime for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Today was the last day of this set of classes and I got a week off. So I'm taking full advantage of it.
Cool, cool.
Have you done anything with AI?
That's funny because my last class I did a lot of research on AI, just as general, not specifically with music or anything like that, but just seeing how the industry is going with AI. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look very good. Mm-hmm. There's actually a book out called 2084, AI and Humanity or something like that. It's by Dr. John Lennox. He's a Christian apologist. Mm-hmm. And he talks about a biblical worldview on how AI is very unethical.
Mm-hmm.
And just the biggest quote that I got from his book said, just because we can, should we?
Yeah.
And people are really trying to play God in this world using AI. And it's really concerning if you really dig into it.
Is AI going to appear in your fantasy world in some way?
We have a news video on our fictional news. It's called Union City Network News. So UCN News. And we did a news video and we had an AI person and we typed out what we wanted it to say.
Yeah.
And we got to pick the voice and everything. Yeah. The universe is kind of like a cyberpunk universe. So there's a lot of, it's dystopian and it's the whole cyberpunk aesthetic. So it's the high tech, low life, I think is what they say. Is that right? Yeah. So it's that. And they're going to have all this, like, where AI is doing whatever it's doing and they've got the visor things. I don't know if you saw that's actually real now, like the Apple one or whatever. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, so we're living in a cyberpunk world.
For real. But, so y'all are like just ahead of the game. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is cyberpunk as far as like a genre has been around since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it
yeah.
was coined sometime in the 80s. Well, yeah. It's interesting because AI has its roots from World War II.
Hmm.
From Alan Turing when he was doing encrypting the Enigma against Germany.
Oh, that's right.
So that's actually where a lot of the roots of AI come in place is just his mathematics.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Now that's getting deep.
The Imitation Game. That's what it's based on. Use a lot of his background in my papers on my last class for AI, so I got really deep into it.
So I've got to watch that movie again then, knowing that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because I didn't know that when I first saw the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say the guy that kind of created cyberpunk was William Gibson, the author. He wrote Neuromancer, and that was like 84?
Yeah,
1984.
That was what really broke into cyberpunk universe was Neuromancer.
Yeah. And then after him, it was, what's that guy's name?
Theo Taren.
Yeah, Theo Taren. No, it was the guy that made the tabletop cyberpunk game, Mike Pondsmith. He called it Cyberpunk 2020, the role-playing game of the dark future. He came up with that in 1988. That's what it says.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I guess it kind of started in the 80s.
Which is interesting that the cyberpunk timeline started in 2020 and then COVID hit in 2020, which kind of brought us into this dystopian society that we're in now that highlights what cyberpunk actually is.
Yeah. And they had the VR goggles in like the 80s in the cyberpunk lore. And now have that in 2024. And it's like in line with it. So I'm just like, okay, who told these people? Did God tell these people that this was going to happen?
So as we wrap up, how about a little TLDR, a little summary of where are you going from here and what do you hope to accomplish with Theo Taren?
What we're trying to get across is that, like I said, it's an allegory. It all comes back to getting people to believe in Jesus to get saved, to bring them together, make a community, and have them feel like they've got somewhere that they belong and somebody who loves them. Jesus loves them. And yeah, all of these bad things are going to happen in the world. But if you are saved, then you're going to go to heaven and have eternal life. It'll be awesome. That's the shortest version I can get.
Well, Really, it's the truth clothed in a story. And Jesus did that a lot with his parables. Like, he didn't straight up tell people, like, this is what you need to do. He did everything in parables and stories, because that's how we as society communicate. And so that's what the whole lore is about, what Theotaron is about, is telling the truth of what Jesus is in the gospel, but just using a story to do it. Because people are afraid of the naked truth, but if you clothe it in a story, they're more willing to pay attention.
That's a good word, too. Jake, Monica, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music and check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week and let's be kind to one another.